Good morning. We're so glad that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. Let me read a psalm as we begin this morning. The psalmist says, "Come, sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountains' peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship him. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pastures, the flock under his care. Today, if only you hear his voice." So we've come to gather together in our living rooms and wherever we're at this morning to hear God's voice, to worship together. So I'm Pastor Kevin Crawford here at Trinity Church, and this is Pastor Mark, and we're just so glad you're here. Just to give you an idea of what's going to be happening this morning, this is kind of our order of worship. We're going to have a time of just sharing some things that are going on online this week, and then we're going to have a time of prayer and a read and response that you can join in. Worship through song, his word, another time of singing together, and then we'll just close our time together. So we're glad you're here, just to give you a heads up of what we're doing today during this live broadcast.
And we want to continue to connect with you all online on our website. We have an events page, so be sure to check on that to see the various events that I believe we're updating this page daily. So we want to continue to connect with you all throughout the week.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great things happening, things that are happening in your neighborhood, blessing people. I just heard a story yesterday of someone who got to pray with their five that we had talked about earlier this year as a church family. So if you want to share your story, there's a way to do that. You can go on our website and go to share your story, storytellers, and you can just type in and share your story, and maybe we'll be able to post that on Facebook or even share that on a Sunday morning during one of these gatherings. Another thing for us to continue to stay connected, many of us are in community groups, and we want our community groups to stay connected during this time. We want to leverage technology. Leverage Google Chat or Zoom Chat, text threads, other technologies like another app called GroupMe. You can all have a group thread. My community group is meeting tonight via Zoom. So we're going to chat and hang out together on video. So we want to encourage you to stay connected through your community groups. But some of you aren't in community groups, and we want to continue to empower and equip all of us to be cared for and to care for one another during this season. So a thing that we're working on is regional care groups. And what we're doing is we're trying to divide our church family up into geographical locations, and then for you to be equipped and empowered to care for one another, to email one another your needs or the ways you want to care for one another. So that's coming. You'll get more information about that in the coming weeks, or the coming days, actually. So we're so excited about that.
I love that we're doing that. I'm really excited, too, about how we're going to be continuing Trinity Student Ministries, our TSM, and tonight on Facebook Live and Instagram, we're going to be having TSM, and we're going to have some worship through song with Miranda, and then I'm going to be giving a message from Psalm 73. We want to encourage our students, or if you know a student, to check out our Instagram or our Facebook. You can see the handle right there, Trinity Student Ministries, so be sure to check that out. I'm really excited about that. Also, our kids ministry, we're going to have a digital Sunday school. It'll be on Tuesday, though, not Sunday. So Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to continue to provide resources for our families, and we want to continue to partner with our parents through that as well. So I'm excited for digital Sunday school on Tuesday at 10 a.m.
Great. Thanks, Mark. I think another thing that we're doing is time to worship together. Pastor Reese, who's usually leading us in song, he just had gave birth to his daughter, and they're kind of settling in at home with that. But on Tuesday, you can tune in live here on our Facebook page, and we're going to have a time of worshiping through song during that time. Also, then on Wednesday night, we want to have a prayer meeting together. You can log in on our website. or you'll get a link through the email on Tuesday, or on our Facebook, a link to Zoom. And Zoom is a video kind of conferencing thing, so all you have to do is hit that link, and it'll bring you into the prayer meeting. If you have, if you're working from a phone or a tablet, you'll have to download the Zoom app, and more of the instructions will be on our website and email this week. But Wednesday night, 7 p.m., we'll be praying together, a time to pray together and share your prayer request as well.
Also, on Facebook Live, Pastor Kevin, he's been sharing just some words of encouragement from God's Word. The daily you can catch at 7:30 a.m. on our Facebook Live. So just really encouraged by Kevin's words. So if you want to hear from Kevin, 7:30 is Facebook Live, the daily.
So another thing that's happening next week, we want to have a time to answer your questions on a Sunday morning about what's going on, questions during this crisis. And so next Sunday, we're going to be answering some of those questions, but we're going to take those questions in this week. So if you go to our website, there'll be a link. We'll have a link up on our Facebook page later today or tomorrow. You'll receive an email for the link that you can click and then submit your questions. And we'll compile those questions and take time next Sunday to answer your questions about what's going on. Maybe your kids have questions and you want to ask us. So we'll do our best. We're not medical officials. We're not crisis management. We're not political officials, but we are people of God's Word, and we want to address what's going on from God's Word during this season. And kind of our last announcement this morning is we want to encourage you to give during this time. The ministry continues to go on for us as staff and facilitating these online experiences and ministering to people during this time. And we understand that many of you are going through financial wonderments and concerns, but we want to ask you to set up an online account during this season. Set up online giving, a reoccurring giving would be great, so we know what's happening during this season financially. Or if you want to give a one-time gift, you can go to trinitychurch.com/give and set up your account. You can also mail in your gifts to our address, and we'll receive those gifts as well. You can find our address on our webpage as well. But we want to thank you for your generous giving. But we need to have continuous, all of us, to be joyful and generous and be sacrificial in our giving during the season, because the ministry of Trinity staff are continuing to move forward to equip and empower you to be sent to love like Jesus continually during this season. So consider setting up an online account to give regularly to the ministry here at Trinity Church. Okay, we're having some technical difficulties. Apologize for that. Continue to stay on the page. If it drops, we'll do our best to come back live as soon as possible. So with that, after our announcements, we're going to enter into a time of kind of formal worship now, if you want to say. So Pastor Mark, would you open us with an opening prayer?
I would love to. Father, we just lay our anxieties, our worries, the technical difficulties just at your feet, and we just want to hear from you this morning. We would love to gather in person, but we just know that your Spirit is present wherever we're at. However we're watching this, whether it's live or even later, your Spirit is present. I just pray that you would open our hearts to receive from your Word, be encouraged, be comforted, and receive the peace that only you can give. I'm thankful for that. Be with us the rest of this time as we are gathering online as a church family. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mark. Right now, we're going to have a time of read and response. So I'm going to read something kind of from Psalm 23, and then I want to invite you to respond in your living or where you're at as we affirm who God is and what he's doing during this time. So here's our read and response. The Lord is our shepherd. We lack nothing.
He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He refreshes our souls.
The Lord guides us along the right paths for his name's sake.
Even though we walk through the darkest valley, we will fear no evil. For the Lord is with us. He is our rod and staff. They comfort us.
The Lord prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our heads with oil. Our cup overflows. And now together, Surely your goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now I just want to invite you into a time of worship through song. So worship in the way that's comfortable for you through song during this time. Join us in singing this song, Lord, I Need You. Would you pray with me? Lord, we need you. We are desperate for you during this season of our lives and our culture, our country, and our world. So we ask that you would continue to be our help. We are in need of you. We have sought other things to comfort us, to give us security all throughout our lives. But now you've brought us to a season that we are desperate for you and that we are in need of you. And we cry out and we need you now in our vulnerable and feeling helpless state. We pray this in Christ's name, amen. Well, we are in a time and season in which we all feel vulnerable. We feel as though we're helpless at times. We feel our finances slipping through our hands. We feel our convenience of doing our normal routines slipping through our hands. we're shut in our houses and our kids are going crazily and we go, where does my help come from? How do I manage my kids? Many of us are wondering, will we have a job in the coming days and weeks? Maybe you own a company. You're wondering, how do I manage my company during this financial crisis? Where's my next paycheck? And we find ourselves kind of exposed. We find ourselves in this vulnerable state, wondering what's going to happen next. Worry and anxiety race through our heart and mind, and we wonder, where does our help come from? And that's exactly what the psalmist in Psalm 121 comes to the place to. He says, I lift my eyes up to the mountain. Where does my help come from? We wonder right now in the situation we're in, where does my help come from? And we look up to the mountains, and you can either see mountains as this stronghold and say, oh, that's where they come from. Or if we understand the context in which the psalmist is writing, that this psalm is written in a place of vulnerability, of feeling helpless, because this is a song of ascent, it says at the beginning of your psalm. And that song of ascent means that people are traveling up to Jerusalem to worship God. And as they travel up to Jerusalem, they're walking through valleys and they're walking through wadis, and they look up and they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable from enemies coming up from the, down from those mountains. And they would travel up to Jerusalem. They would come to the Temple Mount, and they were coming to the tabernacle, and they would come to these steps, and they would come to sing this Psalm 121 on these steps. Where does my help come from, Lord? I look to the mountains. And if you pan back from this, at the Temple Mount, when you're in Jerusalem, you are surrounded by mountains. Even to this day, you can understand and see that these mountains surround Jerusalem. Maybe you're familiar with the Dome of the Rock. If you're in Jerusalem and you look to the west, or you look to the east, there's the Mount of Olives, there's hills, there's mountains. If you look to the west, there's hills, there's mountains. If you look to the east, there's hills or mountains. All around Jerusalem, there are hills and mountains. And it's a vulnerable state because enemies could shoot down from those places. So when the psalmist says, I look up to the mountains, where does my help come from? They're in this very vulnerable, helpless state when they're crying out to God. Imagine for a moment, you're a Minnesota Vikings fan. You've put on all your Minnesota Vikings fanfare gear. Your face is painted purple, and you walk into Lambeau Field. Imagine Lambeau Field filled with Green Bay Packer fans, and you're standing right in the middle of the field, and you look up and you wonder, where does my help come from? You're sitting in the bottom of this bowl. You're sitting at the bottom of this and looking up, and this is where you're at. You're at a vulnerable, helpless state. And that's where the psalmist finds himself. And that's where we find ourselves. We find ourselves in a time and place where we look up and we feel vulnerable and we say, where is our help going to come from? The reality is we are in a vulnerable position that seems helpless to us right now. We are in a vulnerable place emotionally. We're in a vulnerable place financially. We're in a vulnerable place physically. We're vulnerable. We feel helpless. And we are wrestling and wondering where our help will come from. When will this virus go away? When will life go back to normal? And we're wrestling and wondering, when will this go away? How can I control this? How can I overcome this? And the big question from the text for us today is this. Where does your help come from when you feel helpless? Where does your help come from when you feel vulnerable, when you feel exposed? For many of us, up until last week, our help would have probably come from, man, I know my job is secure. I know that there's a regular routine to my life, Monday morning through Friday, and Saturday activity, and then going to the church gathering, and maybe a community group or a Bible study, and all these things. There was help through your daily routine. There was help from, you know, how to manage your emotions because things were predictable and under control. But now we're in this state of unknown. I kind of am taking my life a half a day at a time. And the question for us today, the question for you is, what are you going to run to? What are you going to go to during your time of vulnerability and helplessness? So we can either run towards Jesus or we can run away from Jesus in our helpless times. We can push into Jesus or we can run away from him. And during this heightened times of emotion and wonderment and worry, those are our two choices. If you're a follower of Jesus or not a follower of Jesus, are you running towards Jesus or away from Jesus? So a question I have for us is, which direction are you headed? Not how close you are to Jesus, not how far you feel from Jesus, but where are you turned towards? Where does your help come from? We want to encourage you during this season to continue to point you to Jesus, to continue to press into Jesus during this time. Because we've been on a streak, culturally, of being pretty independent from God. We don't seemingly need him for much. But now we're pressed into a season that we're absolutely dependent upon him. And as a psalmist is in this vulnerable state and saying, where does my help come from? We find ourselves in a vulnerable, helpless state right now. We feel vulnerable even reaching for a door handle. We feel vulnerable going to the grocery store. We feel vulnerable maybe taking a walk. We feel vulnerable financially. And we can say, where does our help come from? Where does our confidence come from? Where does our comfort come from? So from this text today, I want to see that there's four comforting characteristics of Christ. Yes, this is a psalm out of the Old Testament, but I think it projects forward to the character of who Christ is because it talks about the character of God that comforts us and encourages us. So when we cry out, I look up into the mountains and we feel that we're vulnerable. And as we're in vulnerable and exposed state and feeling helpless, we say, where is our help going to come from? So join me this morning as we explore this passage to say, where does our help come from during this season? As we look at four characteristics of Christ. The psalmist says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? And it says, my helper comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He first says this first characteristic, for my help comes from the Lord. And who is the Lord? He is the maker and creator of all things. Going back to the book of Genesis, that God created all things by his word. His word is powerful. And then it talks about who Jesus is in Colossians chapter 1. It says, in Colossians chapter 1, it says this, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. For he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Man, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of questions, we have the ability to press in and push into this Jesus who not only created all things, but holds it all together. Like, he's designed our life. He knows the intimacy of our life. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we can go to the designer of life in our time of need because he holds it all together. He's in control. The first characteristic I think we see from this is that Christ is the creator and sustainer of all things. Do you find rest in that? Not just he's creator, but sustaining. He's involved in the intimacy of our lives right now. And as the psalmist was crying out and he looks up to the mountains, I feel vulnerable. Where is my help going to come from? He remembers that this God of the universe, Yahweh, this Lord Jesus is the creator. He is the sustainer of what's going on. Then he says this phrase in verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. Well, many of us walk on sidewalks today. We walk through our house and we don't think about slipping. We don't think about falling. We don't think about stumbling. But for the psalmist who had just traveled up to Jerusalem and worn sandals or was barefoot, their thought of slipping or stumbling on a daily basis was a reality. They had traveled up through paths that look like this. You can barely see this path, but this is the path from Jericho up to Jerusalem, and it's a very narrow path, and these were the roads in which people walked on. They could slip and fall and stumble, so their footing was unsure all the time, especially as they ascended going up to Jerusalem. And then when they entered in Jerusalem, these are the streets of Jerusalem. They're this limestone, and they're like, as more people walk on them and walk on them, they're like polished limestone. So you can even see the glare in this picture of the streets of Jerusalem, that they're slick. So they're walking in the wilderness or the desert up to Jerusalem. They're walking in Jerusalem was not always for sure footing. So Christ will keep you steady in unsteady times. He will keep us steady. The writer Paul writes that he will create our feet, have this feet of righteousness and steady in salvation in him. So as we're walking through life, as you walk through life, this isn't a physical reality if he will not let us slip, but Christ will keep us steady like a ballast of a ship in the midst of a storm. Who he is apart from the circumstances keeps us steady because he holds it all together and he will not let us slip. Christ will keep you steady in an unsteady time. He goes on, the psalmist, and says, He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And go on, it says this, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade and your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. Six times this word watch is talked about in this passage. And if you're reading scripture and you see a repetition of a word, it should heighten your awareness of what is God communicating. And so this word watch is the idea to keep, to guard, to watch over, to attend and care for. So six times it says the Lord is watching. He sees what is going on. He's attentive to what is going on. He's not absent. So let's unpack these times that God is watching. He cares. He's intimate for us. It says, he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. This idea of watching is like a shepherd who cares. And shepherds, when they would watch over their sheep, unfortunately, would fall asleep at night. It was also the reality of gods in the ancient Near East. They were known to fall asleep. And so what the psalmist is doing here is he is contrasting the God Yahweh with the gods of the ancient Near East. There are stories written of that, man, our God is asleep. He is slumbering. He's asleep. And he is our God, Jesus Christ, is never asleep. He is always attentive. He is always watching. He is like a shepherd watching over us. He is like a prison guard watching over us to care for us in our time of need. He's like a parent watching. He's like a shepherd watching. He's like a guard watching our souls. And later on it says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. That's the same word for watch, but it's translated in the NIV, will keep you from all harm. And that word harm can also be translated evil. And as I read this week, I was like, how am I going to share that verse? How am I going to share that the Lord will keep you from all harm? What is the truth of that? Because right now, things are harmful. This corona is harmful. Potentially losing our job is harmful. But if we understand this in the context, not just of this psalm, but in the context of the whole story of God, the Lord is watching over you and will keep you from all evil. Like, who ultimately wins in this? Who ultimately wins over death and disease? Who ultimately wins in the end? We know the Lord will watch over you, and we can have confidence that he will ultimately win. And it says he will watch over your life. Your life. But also, watch over the life of your loved ones. Some of us, or all of us, are separated from loved ones. Some of you have loved ones and their life is isolated in assisted living. You wake up daily looking at the life of your kids and say, what life will they have? What will financial situation and physical and emotional and health situation will they walk into? You look at maybe if you have a senior in your life, a senior in high school, and say, man, they were born at 9/11, and now they're graduating high school during this crisis. What's their life going to be? And I think as parents and as friends, as loved ones, we have to realize not only is he watching over our life, he's watching over the life of our loved ones. We can't control. We can't ultimately protect. But we can trust in the one who's watching over our life and entrust the lives of our loved ones because he's watching over their life. He goes on and says, the Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forever. Probably what the psalmist is referring to, their coming and going from Jerusalem, mean the fullness of their life. He's just expounding on the idea of he's watching over our life. There's nothing that's absent from him watching us. What we see from this is that Christ is continually watching over you in crisis. Christ is continually watching over you and caring for you. He knows what you need. Not only does he provide what we want, but he provides what we need during this season. And that's exactly what he talks about in this next verse that we want to look at. This fourth and final characteristic comes from this part of the passage where it says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. Well, this seems a little bit obscure in its first reading. But let's take the second part of this for just a second, where it says, the sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. Israel had been in the desert for 40 years. How did God provide for them during the day? How did God provide for them during the night? God provided for them a cloud by day to shade them from the sun and a pillar of fire at night because the desert becomes very cold at night. God was the one who watched over and provided for his people. Nor will the sun harm you by day. It didn't harm Israel as they marched through the desert. Or at night, they were warmed by the pillar of fire. I think that's maybe what it's referring to. It's recalling the day and night of Israel and God's provision and his protection. And then he says this verse before. It says, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. I just want to help you just understand this passage for just maybe a little bit historically of what this passage means and how this is so encouraging to us, so comforting to us. So bear with me for just a moment as I give you just a little bit of contextual history of what's going on here. In the ancient Near East, and even up till maybe most modern times, most maps were directed on the top of the page to the east. Orientation for them was always towards the east. Our maps are orientated towards the north. And as you walk east, say I'm going east. And if you're in Minnesota, if you're going east in summer or winter, where is the sun? It's to your right. So the people of Israel, when they read this psalm, they understand the orientation of our life was to the east. And if you put your right hand up in the middle of the heat of the day, he says, I am your shade at your right hand. As close as your hand is to your face in the midst of the heat and difficulty of life, I will shade you and I am close to you like your right hand in the heat of life. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That he is ever present in the heat and vulnerability of walking through the desert. God is as close to us as our right hand. He is near to us. And what we see from this is that Christ is near us and enough for us when we feel helpless. He is near to us and he's enough. You see, I think we've lived in a time of abundance, but God has always said, I'm going to be the Lord who provides enough. For example, in Psalm 23 that we read earlier together, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. When we think of the idea of green pastures, we think of maybe the hills of Ireland, like a lush hill. And if I was a sheep, I would be like, yeah, this is great. I love all this green grass. This is an abundance of grass for me. Well, there was my sheep imitation. But for the people of God, Israel, as they read the passage, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. A green pasture was little pieces of grass in the desert that would grow next to a rock that had condensation grow by it. It was just enough in the time of need. And God has always said, in tough, difficult situations, through desert experiences, I will provide enough. I will provide my hand. I will be like your right hand in the heat of the moment. I will be like a broom tree in the desert, just enough shade I will provide for you. God has always been faithful. He has always said, I will provide enough. Friends, we have gone through a season in our country, in our lives of abundance. And maybe this is a season that we're just absolutely dependent upon him to say, Lord, would you provide for our daily bread? Would you provide? Would we have confidence and not grow anxious, just as the words of Jesus tells us? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of them. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Christ is near, and Christ gives enough to us in our time and feeling of helplessness. So the question that we began with is, where does your help come from in your time of helplessness? 2 weeks ago, if you were in financial trouble, where would you run? 2 weeks ago, if you were emotional or spiritual in trouble, what would you run to? today, in the midst of the news changing every moment, when you see yourself in a vulnerable and helpless state, what are you running to? Where does your help come from? So I just want to encourage to remind us, what are these four characteristics of Christ that we saw from this passage? That Christ is the creator and sustainer of all things, your life and the life of your kids and all around us. Christ will keep you steady in these unsteady times. He was a sure footing. He is a ballast to our soul. Christ is continually watching over you in crisis. And lastly, Christ is near, and he's enough for us when we feel helpless. He is as close to us like our hand in the midst of the sun shading us. So friends, my hope is that I continue to point you to Jesus, and we point one another to Jesus. This is who Jesus is. So we can press into him. We can pursue him. We can be people who praise him for what he's doing. And we are people that can put ourselves under him because he cares. Are you putting yourself under the provision of who God is and what he's provided? Are you a person that is moving towards rejoicing in all situations and giving him praise because of who he is in spite of your circumstances? Who are you running to in your time of need? Are you pressing into him and pursuing who this Jesus is during this season? So I want to encourage you. Where does your help come from? I hope your help comes from the Lord, the creator and sustainer of all things during this season. So I'll just take some time to pray for us, to pray for you, as we move into a time of singing in just a moment. Would you pray with me? Lord, you know our anxious thoughts. You know our worries. And because of this virus, we feel vulnerable. We confess that we feel vulnerable financially. We've confessed we feel vulnerable physically. We confess that we feel vulnerable emotionally and spiritually at times. We feel exposed and we feel helpless. And we wonder, where is our help going to come from? We wonder where our financial help will come from, our emotional, our spiritual, our physical help will come from. And we now cry out to you and we turn back to you. We turn from the created things that helped us before and we still struggle with, and we turn to you, the creator and sustainer of all things. We turn away from those things that we thought were steady in our life that are no longer steady, to keep our feet steady, and we turn to you who is constantly steady in our life. Lord, we thought we could control all things by watching over our lives, our children's lives, and bringing security. And we turn back to resting and being reassured that you watch over our lives and the lives of our loved ones. And Lord, we try to shelter ourselves from disaster. We try to shelter ourselves from disease. We try to shelter ourselves from the heat of the financial situations we might find ourselves in. And we turn back to you, who is our shelter and shade in the time of desert, knowing that you have provided for your people in the past. And we turn back to you as the one who will provide today and tomorrow. Lord, I pray for those who are in assisted living and separated from their family members. Would you comfort them and would you protect them? We pray for the workers in those places and our hospital workers and doctors. Would you protect them and give them wisdom and the resources they need? We pray for our government officials. We pray for President Trump that you would give him wisdom and wise counsel to make decisions to guide our country. We pray for our governor and our city officials. We pray for our first responders. Lord, protect them and watch over them. Guide them to make wise decisions, but also being sacrificial and caring for those as well. Lord, I pray for us as a Trinity Church family. And the church at large, I pray that we would continue to learn how to love you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, to lean not on our own understanding, but to lean on you, and to trust that today has enough worries of itself that we would seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and you as the provider and provision for us, and we would give you praise because of who you are and what you are doing and what you've promised to do in a great hope. And Lord, we are thankful that ultimately you have victory over death and disease, and those who put their faith and trust in you will rise again. Lord, bless us and keep us. Cause your face to shine upon us and lead us in song of worship now. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you join me now in singing two songs of response to God's word?
Built on nothing less than
Lord, we are thankful that you are God and we're not. We are thankful that you care for us and you are our cornerstone. Lord, we cast all our fears and anxiety upon you because you care and because you're a great and gracious God. Lord, help us as a church family connect to you and to connect to one another during this season. Lord, help us to rest in you and help us to turn away from those things that we felt that were confident and for sure and steady to you who is steady watching over us and caring for us during this time. Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, continue to cause your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us today and forevermore. Amen. Friends, it was great to be with you. It was great to worship with you. We're doing our best to care and to connect with you during this season. And so we had a lot of announcements that were at the beginning of our time. And if you just stay tuned in and you can watch the slides and announcement as we close now. It's good to be with you. Hope to see you soon.